Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Gospel. Our Gospel reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the Gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Peace be with you. Bible quiz time, everyone. Let me introduce Gayla Lonsberry, this morning's Bible quiz coordinator. She's right there and ready to hand out the prizes, okay? We need two volunteer contestants. Brave person, brave soul. You know, good news is, by the grace of God, whether you get it right or wrong, you will get a prize. Who will be the number one contestant? Please come forward. Just come forward. You don't have to ride on a donkey here. If not, I will pick somebody. I hate it when I was in school, right? Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Whether you get it right or wrong, doesn't matter. You will get a prize. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, all right. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Number one, only one person. Who's going to be number one? No. You can stand right there. Ready. Get ready. Okay. Lynn will be number one contestant. Okay. You will ask this question. You will answer this question. Number one question. According to the Bible, how many people did Jesus raise from the dead? Sorry, it's no multiple choices. Okay, well, very close enough. Yeah, give her a prize. Here is the answer, actually. It's three people, according to the Bible. Lazarus, you're correct. Number two, the son of the widow of Nain, and Jairus, daughter. Sound familiar? Right, yeah. Let's give our big hands. Yeah. Okay, Loretta, all right. Question number two. According to the Bible, how many times did Jesus weep?
I remember one time.
Okay, well, that's close enough too. Okay, closer enough. Okay, three times actually, yeah. And the answer is, three times Jesus wept when Lazarus died, even though later Jesus raised him to that life. Number two, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's give our big hands to Loretta. Wonderful. Thank you, Gayla. All right, that's your prize. Yes, keep it. Thank you so much. One of the main reasons why I wanted to have this Bible quiz this morning is to ask you to pay attention to Jesus' human emotion of weeping. Anybody raise your hand if you never cry? Never cry, never become sad? Okay, nobody, right? Even though Bible records only three times when Jesus wept, I am sure there might be many other times when Jesus wept, just like probably Jesus might have raised many more souls too. I mean, yeah, Lynn might be correct, yes. So when Jesus wept, showing compassion and love, yes, Jesus wept over the human mortality. Jesus wept over the destruction of God's city, Jerusalem. And Jesus wept over the imminent suffering of and death of his own. Even though Jesus is the Son of God and God himself, yet as a 100% human being, he has human emotions in every aspect of life and death. Nevertheless, nothing keeps him from doing God's will through his sacrificial love on the cross. And all these weeping occasions happen around a significant turning point in his life of 33 years. That point is Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday, and also known as Passion Sunday. The word passion means the suffering of Jesus. Starting today, we are entering into Holy Week. During this week, every single day is a holy day. Holy Monday tomorrow, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, also known as Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday. Then after Holy Saturday, it will be Easter Sunday. Yeah. So I pray that you will experience each day as a meaningful and inspiring day filled with grace and gratitude for God's love for you through Christ. And you are invited to Monday, Thursday service led by Reverend Beverly Divine and Good Friday service led by the Reverend Roy Riggs. Both services will be held in the sanctuary right here at 7 p.m., not 7 a.m. This morning's gospel lesson is from Luke, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna! Interestingly, even though all four Gospels include this Palm Sunday occasion, somehow they are recorded in some different ways with some certain different details. Each Gospel shows certain unique perspective and emphasis. For example, this morning's Luke passage does not mention any words of palm. I have palm right there. Palms or Hosanna. Interestingly, right? Have you noticed that? Only John, Gospel of John, shows those palms and Hosanna words. Moreover, while the three Gospels mention only one donkey or one colt, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, shows two animals. One donkey and one colt. As you know, a colt is a young male donkey, less than 4 years of age. But I'm not getting into any attempt to contrast or compare these Palm Sunday accounts written in the four Gospels. Each Gospel has its own distinctive records and details, yet the main point is simple, straightforward, and important. I would call this the Great Transition. Yes, it's the great transition for Jesus to accomplish God's will through the way of the cross. For Jesus, it is the most significant and crucial transition, shifting from his public ministries and triumph to his passion and eventually death. Of course, we all know that his death is not the end of the story. For Jesus, throughout all these crucial moments, crucial days, and crucial journey, he is facing the cross. All the disciples of Jesus who are gathered there for the procession of Jesus, praising God with a loud voice in verse 38, let us all read together. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Sounds familiar, right? Just as the multitude of the heavenly host praised when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, these disciples' proclamation also signifies the palm procession of Jesus to be a signal for the great transition. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we, the disciples of Christ, are called to follow Jesus with courage and determination in our own life transitions. As a matter of fact, throughout all your life, you are confronted with many transitions. And these transitions always require new challenges and new choices from you. Who said that life is easy and it's a piece of cake? No, never. Life is actually full of challenges, problems, and crises. Of course, there are other transitions that could bring you joy and blessings. When you commit yourself to God's way for you, that's a truly good thing. That transition will lead you amazing ways of experiencing God's love and grace. Being baptized, having your child baptized, or reaffirming your faith in Christ, or joining the church. Yes, all these transitions are your ways of responding to God's call and God's will and God's love for you. This is the good news from Palm Sunday's lesson. Jesus gracefully responds to the great transition that comes with sufferings and death. He responds to it with his overflowing grace and sacrificial love for you on the cross. Therefore, even though you are facing all kinds of hardships, trials, or impasses in your life, you can find the source of your strength, your peace, and your confidence in Christ Jesus, who is your rock and salvation. Yes, you can always be stronger than ever as long as you hold on to Jesus through your amazing community of faith and love. God keeps his promises. Jesus shows you the way. Many ancestors proved the way for you. An apostle proclaims the way in 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Thanks be to God. Amen.